We were revived under Dr. John Sung. But the Japanese came and interrupted all our plans. Big Brother became a legal trainee, that is, a student lawyer. 2 years, when the Japanese finished and the British came back, Brother had forgotten his vow under Dr. John Sung to serve the Lord. He says, I've 2 years already finished. Let me go to London. However, God stepped in. Do you know we have a wonderful God? Mother died March the 8th. Brother said, no, doesn't matter. Let me still go. Ah, but God says no. Daughter died 5 weeks later. Amazing thing. From a most rare condition, died. Then at the graveside, he woke up. No more London, but Nanjing. Of all places, to Nanjing. And the professor, Jia Yuming, says, you are English Ed, we are Chinese Ed. You better go to America. So shot him to America. When he returned 4 years later, I said, ah, now revival can come again. Surely, he was revived under Dr. John Sung. He will revive us. My dear friends, God sent only John Sung once in a century. Of all the thousands of preachers, there was only one John Sung. So, we hope, but God says no. Serving the Lord is faithfulness from day to day. So, October the 20th, 1950, how many of you were present at the first meeting? Prinsep Street, Life Church, Sae Mya Pen. If you are Teochew, you know what I'm talking about. And there we started the Life Church English Service, the beginning of the Bible Presbyterian Church, the first and only separatist church that talks about Jesus the only way, whereas ecumenical movement says there are many ways. Jesus is one good way, but all others are good. We say no. Bible Presbyterian Church, they say BP. What is BP? British Petroleum. No, dear friends, in time to come they understood. Bible Presbyterian means we stand on the Bible, the Word of God, but we are Presbyterians in administration. Do you know where the Presbyterians come from? Essentially, we come from Scotland under Calvin. Well, essentially, we are not Scottish by any chance, but we have imbibed that doctrine. God has raised us and He has a purpose. So I say, dear friends, remembering a departed servant of God is good. But more important is to learn and imitate him. He was a servant. When I came back from England, having sat there under Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the famous Westminster Chapel, you know his successor, Dr. Kendall, his phone is secret. You cannot call him, you know. He's so important. When I came back, I read the Life Weekly. Pastor Timothy Toh says, call any time. My telephone number is, you can call me any time of day or night, provided it is a genuine call. I learned a lesson. He was my mentor. You know his mentor? Teacher. And he taught me all the lessons, how to serve. 1950, we began. 1970, I left the church to begin Calvary. But he continued to teach and continued to advise and guide me until his last. We were all prepared to have another lunch with him. We had weekly lunches on the Thursday. On the Sunday, that is, let me see the date, 19th April 2009, just about 2.5 years ago, at 10 to 6, I received a telephone call from Mrs. Ivito. Your brother is not well. I said, take him to hospital, I will meet him there. 10 minutes later, when it was 6 o'clock sharp, the phone rang. Your brother is not going, he's gone. God has called him, finished. How quick, how easy to go. There are some people who find it very difficult to go, but God had a plan. Now we are here living, what do we do? Do you know what you are doing? Do you know the Lord is coming? Do you know we all are in a race? Today Singapore is all on fire, F1. Everybody watching who's going to run the fastest motor car like crazy. More important is the race for the Lord. You and I are in the race. Do you know that? You're running in the race. How are you running? I want you to turn to the Word of God. For the Word of God always has pertinent and important instruction. This is in the letter of Paul written to the Corinthian Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. By the way, Corinth is a city of Greece. And when you talk of Greece, we always remember the Olympic Games came from Greece. And that is the country where the people are very caught up with exercise, competition, racing, running. And so that is the background of this letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians to tell them what? We are in a race, dear friends. Do you know that? How are you running? Or are you running at all? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Here the apostle, and who is the apostle? Do you remember that he was the greatest enemy of Jesus Christ? And when the Lord called him, he turned around altogether, and from that moment became the number one servant of God, running the race. Running the race. Verse 24 says, know ye not? Do you know that they who run in the race all run? But in those days, only one gets the prize. And yet, how many people run? A whole lot of people, all hoping to get the prize. Have you taken part in a race? I was in university, like some of you, many years ago, and I was provoked. You need some provocation for you to want to run, you know. And that fellow provoked me, because he came top, 100 meters dash, he came first. And he's so proud, always bragging, always throwing his weight around, especially in front of the girls, you know, show off. I was provoked. So I said, let me train. And let me try, if possible, to outrun him. I did. I don't know how I did. I did. And he said to me, so, I never knew you could run. I said, yeah, I never knew I could run. So, this is it. Verse 24. Know you not, you are in a race. Pardon my voice, it is recovering from Australian flu. It's a terrible place to get it.
But
one only receives the prize, and yet so many are running. So it is. There is a difference in the race we run, do you know? A vast difference. Why is it so? What is the difference? Ah, Jesus says, you run the race. All of you who run faithfully will get a prize, not one man, but everyone who runs according to the rules of running, the rules of preparation, the rules of patience, running, by the way, is not 100 meters. It is a marathon. What is a marathon? How many of you have tried the marathon? Some people are ambitious, and they try, but half marathon only. How far is a marathon, do you know? 26.25 miles. Miles. No joke. And he had to run. But you must prepare. So he says, verse 25, every man that strives for the mastery, every man who is aiming to win a prize, again I want to stress, those days, these are the before the Olympic Games. Only the top man gets a prize. And what is that prize, do you know? Today you get a gold medal. What did they get in those days? A laurel wreath. A wreath made of twigs and branches of the laurel tree, wound into a crown made of leaves. You wear it and so proud for 10 minutes, people admire you. They cheer you. You feel good. I'm the victor ludorum. I'm the winner of the games. And for that you practice the whole year round. How do you practice for a marathon? Do you know? I heard some of us do the triathlon. 3 events only, not like this one. You pay attention to your lifestyle. You are willing to forgo the favorite foods you like. You don't eat anything you like. You only eat what the health doctor says you eat. Do you know that? And you must go to bed early and sleep adequately. And you must not do all the silly, stupid things like smoking, drinking, and anyhow you like, going to nightclubs. How many of you are in the habit of going to clubs? Enjoy yourself. When I went to university, that was the song, you know, the whole day they say, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think, you must keep on enjoying. How foolish! Oh, my friends, we are in a race of life. And whether you like it or not, you are in the race. Because at the end, the judge is going to judge us all. For we must all one day, whether you like it or not, dear friends, those who are still outside Christ, I say, what do I care? I say, you can say what do you care now, but we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ after this world. How long is this world to you? How long? You tell me. You've lived for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. How many more years? You wait until you are my time, 86. How many more years? I don't expect many more years. But I expect to be one of those who will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you too, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, you will be there to be judged. Are there two kinds of judgment, dear friends? We are not here to tell you all the details, but I say, dear friends, run the race. Run it according to the rules. You cannot do anyhow you like and expect to run and win a prize. You must run according to the rules. Verse 26. So, Paul the Apostle says, I run, not as uncertainly. I fight on, not as one that beats the air, like shadow boxing. No, this is a real contest to the death. Verse 27, therefore, I keep under my body. I keep my body under control. I know the rules. So back to the years when I was in university, I had no coach. Today, you join the university, there's a coach, there's a sports doctor, there's all the people to help you, and all the tracks laid for you. I had to measure and lay my own track and run, and measure myself, buy a stopwatch and time myself. How do you practice? You must be serious, dear friends. Why? Because your whole eternity is at stake. Here we are on earth, in time. You wear a Seiko watch, don't you? Or better, Longines or Eternalmatic. All of us have to wear a watch because we are in time. Very soon the time is over. Then you are in eternity. How are you going to square up, appear before the judge, and he's asking you, how did you run? What did you do on earth? This is the problem. You say, I don't care. Yes, I say, dear friends, I don't doubt that you are very brave, very stylo. And you say, I don't care. God or no God, I don't care. I say, but you must care, because you are not master of your own life. Do you know that? You came into this world not by your wish. Did anyone got asked, hey, would you like to be born? No. We all are thrust into the earth. We come. One day you are taken out without your asking permission or anything. You are taken out. Then you got to face the music. Today you say, wow, I'm so great. I don't care. On that day you say, I'm so small, I dare not face the Creator. I dare not face my God. How to face Him? Because I insulted Him. I say, dear friends, don't insult God today. He's a loving God. And He says, come back to me. So, verse 27, keep under your body. Don't say, I live as I like. I do as I like, who cares? I say, God cares. God minds how you live, because your body is here for a purpose. Everyone who has come into the Lord Jesus Christ, your body becomes temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you. You must glorify God, therefore. And you say, I don't care. All right. I agree with you. You have your right, but that right is a very perilous, dangerous right. You have to face the judge one day. Whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, you have to be there. And God will judge you. So, let us run. Verse 27. So, I keep under my body. I bring it to subjection. I don't let my body do as he likes. Anyhow, live. No, dear friends, now turn to this morning's text. In the book of Hebrews, our time is running on. Chapter 12. For those of you who run and see, think, oh yeah, it's so difficult, you know. I'm running alone, maybe with a small group, and I don't know what is in the future. Verse 1 of Hebrews 12, we don't know the author, possibly it was Paul, I don't know. But he says, look, be encouraged. You're not running alone. You are running with a great group of other people. Verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, witnesses who can tell you, I ran the race before you. I have made the grade, I've finished the course, I've run the race, and the Lord was with me. Now there is reward before His throne. Run on, run on! Don't give up. This is the purpose of the witnesses. You say, where are the witnesses? Do you know what a marathon is? You do the 25 miles, 26 miles on the road, cross country, right? Your last lap is in the stadium. Do you know that? In the stadium, there will be spectators, thousands of spectators waiting for you to appear. Now, read on, verse 1. These are the spectators. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, these are the spectators waiting in the stadium, waiting for you to appear into the stadium, having finished your 26 miles, just a quarter of a mile to go round one round. And they will cheer you. Wonderful, you finished the 26 miles. Now it's just the last lap. Run on, they say, run on. Congratulations. If that is so, let us lay aside, please follow the text. Lay aside every weight. What are the weights? Ever seen an athlete carrying weights and running? He must be a fool. Every runner, every athlete weighs himself carefully. No excess weight. You don't carry any weight. And the one who sins is adding weight to his body. This is the analogy, a comparison. Do you understand? So, beware of the weights that weigh you down. You are running a race. You must not be weighed down by sins. You cannot serve the Lord and serve mammon and serve the world and serve yourself. You cannot. Why? Because you are in a race. Who put you in the race? The Lord put you in the race. And you got to run properly. So, let us run with patience. It is a marathon. You don't finish it in one day. You run your race. You live your life. Lord, what do you want me to do? This was the question Paul asked the day he was converted. Saul of Tarsus was struck down. He said, I thought you were dead, Jesus Christ. I thought you were crucified, finished. This is what the world thinks, do you know that? This is what the majority of the church thinks today. All those apostate, fallen away churches, they worship a dead Christ. They don't believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Do you believe, dear friends? Here he is talking to you. Run with patience, he says. Verse 2. Looking to Jesus. What's the use of looking at a dead Christ? They hang the dead Christ on a crucifix around the neck and they think, they have a Christ in them. Those are dead Christ, crucifixes with the Jesus Christ on the is to remind you of dead Christ on the cross. Our cross has no Christ on it. Why? He's risen and he's ascended already. So he says, look to Jesus. He is the author. He is the one who starts you off. As Saul of Tarsus was an enemy until he met the risen Christ. It's amazing. Lord, who are you? Who are you? And Jesus says, I am Jesus of Nazareth. You find it difficult to play durian with your barefoot, you know. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to kick your feet against the pricks. I am Jesus, you persecute me. You're going to Damascus to kill Christians. Here am I. Saul, wake up. And Saul says, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Jesus says, I have special work for you. Yes, you will be my witness. From that day, he turned around and followed Jesus. Anyone here who is like Saul of Tarsus, saying, I don't care. Jesus is dead and gone. Who cares? I say, you better care, because he cares for you. Verse 2. Look to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of your faith. He is the one who calls you out of the world. He may be his enemy, but when he loves you, he calls you and turns you around. And then you begin to acknowledge my Lord and my God. How can it be that you love an enemy who goes around to kill Christians, and God loved him and he ran the race for the Lord Jesus? Jesus says here, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What joy was there? Can you tell me what joy that caused Jesus to go to the cross willingly? What joy? Answer. Jesus saw the joy of you and me here, believing in him, saving out of darkness and death into life. There is joy. When you believe in Jesus Christ, there is joy in heaven in the presence of God and his angels, because one sinner, how about 300 sinners, has believed and turned back to God. That is the joy. When Jesus saw that joy, he bowed to the will of the Father and he was led to be beaten, to be spat upon, insulted publicly, put on the cross. Did he grumble? No. Why? He had the joy. He saw that if I go to the cross and take away your sins, there will be men and women in the day to come in Singapore and here in RENC who will believe in me and be saved out of everlasting death into everlasting life. For that reason, he ran his race. He went the full mile. He suffered on the cross. This is the lesson for today, dear friends. Burn out for Jesus. Our Father and our God, our Lord Jesus, the one who loved us and gave himself for us, may thou witness today how we have sung. May this song be our promise to thee. Lord, take our lives and let it be burnt out and useful for thee. O Lord, bless all thy people here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.